8:30 a.m. KSDP Radio. I'm Kels Hetherington, and this is Meet the People for September 20th, 2010. My guest this morning is Scott McAdams. Mr. McAdams is the Democratic nominee in the Alaska U.S. Senate race. Well, with that introduction, good morning to you, Mr. McAdams, and thanks for coming on the radio.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. It's great to be on with your listeners.
Now, I know you are the mayor of Sitka, and I think the superintendent of schools down there. Is that correct?
I'm the director of community schools, which is a program in the Sitka School District that reports directly to the superintendent that is responsible for youth activities, a volunteer program. So we got a number of things that we do down there. It's community building, and that's what I do during my day job.
Well, the chances of the Democrats picking up a U.S. Senate seat in Alaska changed dramatically in your favor on Friday night of last week when Lisa Murkowski announced that she will run a write-in campaign after losing the Republican primary. Remembering that a write-in candidate for the U.S. Senate has only been successful once, and that was with Strom Thurmond in 1954. Do you believe that Murkowski represents a credible challenge to you and Mr. Miller?
You know, I believe that this thing is wide open. I think that that this race, regarding the write-in candidacy, I don't think the science is there. The math's not there. I think that it creates some interesting press and some interesting conversation. But I believe we're going to win this thing. And taking a look at the writing campaign, I think that I don't think that it's going to work.
Do you fear that she may draw a lot of votes away from moderate Democrats who would otherwise be supporting you for U.S. Senate?
I don't think so. I think that folks recognize that this is a great opportunity to put a moderate, resource development friendly Democrat in the United States Senate who will fight for Alaska. Fight to make sure that our fair share of federal investments made, and also work to bring our natural resources to market. So, I don't think that's that big of a consideration. I think that what we do know right now is that these two candidates are making national news with this thing. There's a bit of a family feud going on. There's already some mudslinging happening. We're the positive campaign. For us, it's about Alaska, and that's what we're going to be talking to voters about, how my experience and the experience we've gained as a mayor advocating for the community. I've also served 6 years as a local school board member, was a past president of the State School Board Association, and those are going to be the things that we talk about. But this business of a write-in campaign, it just doesn't work. I mean, when you look at Alaska's history, when Robin Taylor ran, there was several, ballots cast for him, very few that actually counted. Ernest Greening found himself in the same exact position that Lisa Murkowski finds herself in now, back in 1968 when Mike Gravel beat him in the Democratic primary. And Senator Greening came in third place with 17% of the vote, and Gravel won. So, I think that this thing's wide open. We're running to win, and I believe that we will.
In the days before Murkowski's announcement, there were attempts at least to do some horse trading. Senator Murkowski reportedly met with the Libertarian candidate and party leadership to discuss the possibility of her taking the place of the Libertarian candidate on the ballot. Better, perhaps, for her, would have been to have gone to you and discussed with the Democrats in the state the possibility of her replacing you on the ticket. Did she ever go to you, and would you have been willing to sacrifice your position on the ballot so that a more liberal Republican might have a real chance of winning?
No, there's absolutely nothing to that. That never happened. I don't think it ever would have happened. But no, we're in our campaign. There's been a lot of speculation about a lot of different things, but whether you live in Unalaska, you live in Atka, you live in Accutan, or you live in Sitka. Rural communities matter. Small towns matter. I think that Mayor Marquardt is more qualified to serve a statewide office than Joe Miller is, and I believe Scott McAdams, myself, is with local community service, understand what Alaska is about. So, there's nothing to that. Never happened. Never would have happened. I certainly wouldn't have. step down for something like that. And nobody ever asked me. For as much rumor and conjecture that was out there regarding that issue, no one ever asked me to stand down for this seat. The Democratic Party has been behind me 100% all the way since day one. There's a lot of moderate, thoughtful Republicans and independents out there that are joining our campaign every day. So, there's nothing to that.
The Republican Senatorial Committee announced that it will support Joe Miller in the race for U.S. Senate. Are you getting any help from the Democrats in the way of funding or other campaign resources?
We are getting campaign resources. They're sending three staff members up here to help us work our campaign. But, 3 weeks ago, the Democratic Party didn't even know my name at the national level. This campaign's about Alaska. It's about moving Alaskan communities forward. It's about earning votes one voter at a time. The good news is that in a state like Alaska and in the communities and that your radio station serves, word of mouth is a campaign strategy. I mean, getting out and talking to people, touching the hands of voters, talking to our friends and getting our name out is what we're doing right now. You know, we've got a great campaign that's being run using all the campaign fundamentals. We're preparing to win. But as far as the national, I'm not a national Democrat. I'm an Alaskan Democrat. We're a little bit different breed up here. The folks at National just don't even understand us. But, we're putting together a plan to win, and I believe that we will.
Okay, I'm talking with Scott McAdams. He is a Democratic nominee in the Alaska U.S. Senate race. This is Meet the People. We want to open up the phone lines and let you call in if you want to ask a question on the air. The number for us is 383-8999. Again, the number to call in on is 383-8999. Now, Scott, if we should lose you for some reason that's beyond our control, just call back in and we'll get you back on the air. But hopefully we'll get a few callers in at 383-8999. I think we have all the telephone glitches worked out, so it shouldn't be a problem. But if it is, just call us back. Now, you say you're the most qualified person in the race, more qualified than Republican Joe Miller. What sets you apart qualification-wise as being superior to Joe Miller?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm the only guy between Joe Miller and I who's actually ever held an elected office. I'm the only guy who's ever had to stand before his community and account for votes that I've taken, positions that I've stood for. Joe Miller hasn't done any of that. I'm the only guy that's ever had to vote on a public budget. I'm the only guy that's ever had to balance a public budget, and certainly the only guy that's ever cut a public budget in this race, even with Lisa Murkowski entering based on my understanding of her service record. So, Washington D.C. in so many ways is broken. There's the partisanship in the United States Senate has really frozen the work of the American people and of Alaskans. And that's because of partisanship. I mean, I think if we sent somebody as extreme, somebody so far to the right as Joe Miller to the U.S. Senate, I think that would certainly hurt us in Alaska, being a young state, being a state that needs to be developed. But, my qualifications, maybe I'd share a little bit more about my resume in public service. So I'm the mayor of the city in Borough Sitka. I'm the chair of the Southeast Conference of Mayors, and so we've had to speak from a regional point of view in that position. I'm a past president of the Association of Alaska School Boards, and I'd share a little bit about that. I mean, we have friends in all 53 school districts in this state. But, during that time, during that office, I didn't serve as a Democratic school board member, and I didn't serve as a Republican school board member. I served to advance a common vision crafted by Alaskans, both Democrat and Republican, who had a common vision moving forward the interests of kids. That's the kind of person we need in Washington, D.C. Joe Miller has never held an elected office. He's never, he did run for an office once and lost at the in Fairbanks. But, I think that Alaskans expect people who understand how their communities work. Certainly, I've been an advocate for my region and for my community and for my state. And I think that's what we need in Washington, D.C.
Well, Mr. McAdams, you are a, for Alaska, a big city mayor, being from Sitka. In Bush, Alaska, we have a lot of infrastructure needs, and they range from road development to putting in a new water plant. How are you going to help us get the money to make those infrastructure projects a reality?
Well, I think that there's a few different ways that you work the federal process. For one, I guess I'd bridge back to sharing that Joe Miller has signed a pledge saying that he will advocate for no earmark. He signed a national pledge, and so he made a vow that he won't advocate for any spending that's not within the president's budget, which I think is ironic considering that his position's on the current president. That he won't advocate for any appropriation that is made by a local interest, including a community. So, as Alaska's next United States senator, my first objective will be to have a clear and open line of communication with Alaska's mayors, with Alaska's communities. It's true. I mean, the Aleutians are a region in the state that is similar to every other region in the state, including Southeast Alaska. We have huge infrastructure needs. We're a young state. There is so much that we still need to do in this state, and as a matter of equal footing, we need to have a representative in the United States Senate who understands what our communities need and who has actually been part of the advocacy side. And I've been the guy who has gone and asked for expansion for our hydroelectric capacity to the feds at the local level. I've been the guy who has gone out and had to articulate the infrastructure needs of my community and my region. So being on the other side of the table, I think that I'm prepared to serve that well and be an open door for communities when they come and they make those requests.
I'm talking with Scott McAdams. He is the Democratic nominee in the Alaska U.S. Senate race. You can call in and ask your question at 383-8999. When you call in, just remain quiet until we indicate that you should ask your question, because you'll be live on the air when we pick up the telephone. Is Mark Begich going to help you in campaigning now that this race is absolutely for real and that you really could be the victor in November?
Sure. I mean, Senator Begich has helped. He's been a friend in the process, and certainly there's a number of folks who worked to get Senator Begich elected, who worked on the Knowles campaign, who have joined my campaign. So Senator Begich he's working processes back in Washington D.C. He's been an advocate and somebody who is active in this campaign. On the advocacy side, out in the community, and is working to help us get elected.
Okay, Mr. McAdams, your campaign has been not always easy to get in touch with. Reading the Wall Street Journal, for example, the other day, there was a spot in there where they said they simply couldn't reach your spokesperson nor your campaign. Are you going to be beefing up your campaign effort and your campaign staff in the coming days?
We're already there. I mean, we've already grown out of the office building we've got here in Anchorage. We've got 8 staff here who are working full time. We've got a significant field operation. We made over 3,000 calls to Alaskans this weekend on behalf of our candidacy. So, we're up. We're running. We've got a full and fundamental campaign. We just opened our office in Juneau. Last week, I'm flying to Fairbanks this week for the kickoff, the grand opening of our Fairbanks office. This is we're mobilized, we're up and we're running, and we've got a full-fledged campaign.
Now, Joe Miller says he wants to be part of a new force in Washington, D.C., committed to getting government spending under control in order to reduce the debt. Are you concerned about the rising debt and ongoing deficits that we're seeing, and what do you plan to do about it?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, a $13 trillion deficit is a huge problem for our country. And when you look at the unfunded liabilities downstream of some of the spending that we're going to be required to make, it's significant. But I'll tell you, again, I'm the only guy in this race who's ever had to cut a public budget. This year at the local level, we cut $1.4 million out of a $25 million budget, and we did it through leadership. We didn't grandstand or try to shame people into finding ways to reduce. We actually put out a call to action to our department heads, and folks responded. I think next year we're going to have city services that are at the levels people expect. Because we can't just print money at the local level, we were able to do it in a fashion that reduce costs. Now, at the federal level, I think that, and I'd encourage people to go and take a look at the Coalition of Citizens Against Government Waste. This is the group that always worked to shame and embarrass Senator Stevens. They always would award him the Federal Pork Award. They've done the same to Senator Murkowski and Frank Murkowski when he was in service there, but really not a friend to Alaska. Joe Miller signed their pledge. I mean, this guy's view of the world of full-out repeal and removal of federal agencies that are critically important to Alaskans and to the development of Alaska is just, I think it's dangerous to our state and to our economy. We are a people in a state, as a young state, where a third of our federal economy is based on federal investment. To say that we're going to take that out of the equation is, we'll put Alaskans out of work. It will reduce the workforce. It will kill jobs. And we just can't afford that. I mean, it's our communities are struggling as it is. To have somebody who's not there, who's actually looking for ways to reduce the investment in Alaska instead of fighting for every dime that's part of our fair share, I think is bad for the state.
Well, now you mentioned that we have a debt of $13 trillion and we have a deficit of about $400 billion every year of late. Now, how are you going to support efforts in Washington, assuming that you will support them, to bring down the amount of money that the government is spending beyond what it takes in?
Sure. Well, I'll tell you, there's a couple of things. I mean, I've got a fundamentally different view of the world than Joe Miller does. You know, when you take a look at, let's talk to some basic beliefs. My position is that demand creates its own supply. When you put money into the hands of working people, that's what stimulates an economy. When you build a strong middle class, that's what builds a healthy economy. When you take a look at the federal budget for next year, if my understanding is right, it's about $3.5 trillion in spending. Yet our revenue that we're bringing in is reduced 11% from last year. Well, the reason for that is because we've continued tax cuts to the richest 1%. Of Americans. You know, I'm not sure what Joe Miller's view of the world is and how he plans to do this, but I certainly think that we need a United States Senate that isn't there doing the bidding of, a nationwide millionaires club. I'll continue to fight for and support tax cuts for the middle class, but I don't think that the richest 1% needs to continue to receive that benefit when the country's going bankrupt. Mm-hmm. You know, another thing that is a matter of budget priority, when you take a look at the federal budget, there used to be a time in this country when corporations paid for up to 40% of the cost of doing government in America. That number is down to 7% now. You know, so we've lived in a cycle where we've been borrowing and spending for a long time. It's been, 30 or 40 years. Since we really embraced this supply side economics view of the world, I think that it's important that we have the rich and corporations in this country pay their fair share before we start doing things like stripping senior citizens of $1,000 Social Security checks, and that's what Joe Miller would have us do.
Exactly. So it'll be a very different world if he wins. Now, Democrats are saying they want to let the Bush tax cuts expire at the end of December. And now there's some chatter among Democrats of allowing the Bush tax cuts to be extended, but only for those earning less than $250,000 a year. Republicans, of course, want to extend them for everybody. Where do you stand on the issue of extending the Bush tax cuts?
Well, I think that that there's a new idea about tax cuts, and that is, I would be supportive of making the tax cuts for people who make under $250,000 a year permanent, not just extending them, but allowing the folks who are in the top 1%, the millionaires of America, allow that tax cut to actually expire. So, I think that this idea of continuing to cut revenue, certainly when we put money in the hands of working class people, we know that works. It worked for us in the 1950s and in the 1960s. when this country had a strong manufacturing base, when we actually were able to produce American, manufacture American, grow American, and extract our natural resources from American sources. You know, the health of our economy was strong. But, you know, in the last 30 years, we have allowed ourselves to offshore, outsource, free trade, and deregulate ourselves to death. And, you know, now in the year 2010, we've got some tough decisions to make because, you know, 30, 40 years of this way of thinking is not serving us today, and it won't serve us into the 21st century. I think Joe Miller wants to just cut and cut and cut. I think he's got a basic fundamental view of the world that Alaska doesn't really deserve the federal investment that it gets. I'm a different candidate with a different point of view on that.
Joe Miller has made it abundantly clear that he wants to see Social Security done away with and privatized. Now, there are some questions about whether Social Security can be sustained on a fiscal basis because the program has so overextended itself. What is your position? If a vote comes up in the U.S. Senate to privatize Social Security, or to, not tomorrow, not next month, but maybe a couple of years down the road, reduce or eliminate Social Security benefits, what is going to be your response to that kind of a vote?
I'm going to fight it. I mean, I absolutely am not for the privatization of Social Security. I think that, you know, to allow Wall Street to gamble with the retirement of seniors is the wrong thing to do. You know, I'll continue to fight for to ensure that the program is solvent, that it is available. You know, even without change to the status quo, the program is 100% till near mid 21st century. But I'll tell you, again, this comes back to a fundamental ideology or set of core beliefs that working-class people are what make America work. When you take a look at Social Security right now, a lot of people may not realize this, there is a cap at just over $100,000. Anyone who makes more than that doesn't pay additional Social Security tax. Well, there's no reason why in this country a person making $10 million a year should pay the same amount of Social Security as somebody who makes $100,000 a year.
Now, you said earlier in the discussion, I made a little note, that you're a Democrat, but that the Democrats back in the leadership of the party in Washington, D.C., don't really understand what's going on the Alaska landscape, and they don't understand Scott McAdams. How are you different than the Democrats on the East Coast?
Well, I'll tell you, there's a lot of differences, and you're right. Alaska is an abstraction in the hearts and minds of so many Americans. I mean, trying to understand just our landmass, when I share with people that if you lifted Alaska off of its axis and places along the lower 48 states, that Attu would be in Fresno, Metlakatla, Alaska would be in Savannah, Georgia, and Barrow would be in Bemidji, Minnesota. It boggles people's minds. And so, you know, and the fact that we've got 675,000 people who live on this giant landscape, I think that people just inherently don't get it. They don't understand. It's hard for them to fathom. I think that some of the key differences between myself and the National Party is the development of Alaska. You know, I'm a strong supporter of developing our oil and gas potential, developing our mineral potential, you know, continuing to look at Alaska natural resource extraction as being the green choice in a global marketplace. I mean, what I think a lot of our friends in D.C. don't understand is that, or what folks, you know, haven't thought about is, you know, when you think about the history of the 20th century, you know, as we evolved and progressed, there was a time when we decided that, hey, you know, we need to stand up for clean air, for clean water. We need to protect our environment. And those were good things to do. And so we set into action national environmental policy. Well, at about the same time, we started to deregulate and free trade in our economy. And more and more, we began to consume goods and services developed in a global marketplace. So here we have national environmental policy and an economy based on consumption from goods and services produced globally. Well, here's the problem. When we don't drill in Anwar, when we don't develop Alaskan oil and Alaskan gas, and we rely on that resource extraction from other parts of the globe, we export our environmental degradation to places that don't have the capacity to deal with it, who don't have standards, environmental standards of any sort. When we consume wood products that come from clear cuts in Borneo, we have exported our environmental problems to a nation that's not able to deal with it. My candidacy, and the case I'll make in Washington, D.C., is that we can actually develop Alaska's natural resources and make them and ensure that they are the green choice in a global marketplace. It's a little bit like having a smoking section on an airplane. I mean, you can sit in the back of the airplane and feel protected that you are sitting outside of smoke, but it still creeps in. I mean, environmental policy in this country is important, but I think that the case needs to be made that Alaska's resources can be developed, and that's what I'll do as an Alaskan Democrat in Washington, D.C. Because I tell you what, Anwar is an empty house sitting on the market. Alaska's resource wealth is sitting undeveloped, and we've been using the same old methods for 40 years in Washington, D.C., and they just haven't worked. It's time to change agents to sell that product, and I believe I'm that guy.
Well, Mr. McAdams, for 40 years and more, Senator Ted Stevens attempted to have Anwar open to drilling. It was unsuccessful. Now, do you suppose that from the Democrat side of things and having two Democrats representing Alaska in the U.S. Senate, that you might have a better chance of having some of these resources freed up and allowed to be used because you'd be on the majority side?
I absolutely believe that. In fact, I think that it may be the only way that this is ever going to happen. It may be the only way that we ever bring some of Alaska's resource projects to market, because right now it's far too easy to just make it a partisan or political issue for Democrats to oppose Alaskan resource development because it's politically expedient to do that. I mean, having two pro-resource development Democrats in Washington, D.C. within the caucus, I think requires people to work with us and deal with us on these issues. So, yeah, I absolutely think that by me being there, it makes these things more likely. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I am a proponent of safety. You know, I don't want to just go in and totally pave Anwar. But at the same time, I think we can do it responsibly. We can do it in a fashion that facilitates the highest standards in the world, and that oil can be developed in a fashion that makes it the green standard or the environmental standard for the world for development. Hey, I really appreciate talking to you. I'm it's noon, and we need to.
You're pressed for time.
We've got a full agenda of events today.
All right.
It's great to talk to listeners out in the Aleutians. You know, I might share before I have to wrap up. I've spent time out in Alaska. I handbait longline down on the Andrianoff Islands. I love it out there. I think it's one of the most beautiful parts of the state, and look forward to getting out there a lot once we win this seat. Your issues are important. Rural Alaska matters. The Aleutians matter. And as a mayor from a small town in this state that's off the road system, I hope folks recognize that they have a friend in Scott McAdams.
Well, thank you, Mr. McAdams. And I know we said it would be a half an hour, so we will wrap it up. Good luck, and thanks for sharing some time in a very busy campaign season with us out here in the Aleutian Islands on 8:30 a.m. KSDP. Thanks so much, and best of luck.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for the chance. Talk to you soon.
All right, bye.
Bye.
That was Scott McAdams. He is running for U.S. Senate as the Democratic nominee. It's a competitive race, a very, very competitive race, to say the least, with Lisa Murkowski now campaigning for her old seat as a write-in candidate, and Joe Miller, of course, running as the Republican nominee. That is Meet the People for a Monday morning here on 8:30 a.m. KSDP. I'm Kels Featherington. You'll find this interview and other ones posted online at www.apradio.org. We'll now go back to the music on 8:30 a.m. KSDP.